The last few days, we've embarked on trying to grasp with the wisdom and understanding of the living God what this thing called Pentecost is all about. What is the Holy Ghost? Who is He? Why do we need Him? We laid the foundation of trying to grasp a hold of who this person of the Holy Spirit is. And one of the things that we conclusively laid to rest was the fact that God does nothing without the Holy Spirit starting out in the foundation. And if that's how God operates, then that's how we must operate in every area of our lives. Never get married without inviting first the Holy Ghost to be present in that marriage. Don't start a business without the Holy Ghost first. Because before you speak anything out of your mouth, the Holy Spirit has to brood on that particular situation. When you face a problem, the first thing you and I need to do is to invite the Holy Spirit to come and rest in that situation so that we can speak after the Holy Spirit. Before Jesus was born, the Holy Spirit had to come upon Mary. Hello. Before God created the world or recreated the world, the Holy Spirit brooded, then God spoke. And He said, if we're going to receive power, the Holy Ghost must first come. And ye shall receive power after. After. Now, we must recognize that after doesn't mean next week. And after doesn't necessarily mean next year, or 5 years from now, or 10 years from now. After means after. That means in a nanosecond is after. That means in the economy of God, the two can come at the same time. But one is a foundation, the power is a structure that follows after the foundation. God wants to speak to us and through us. And for Him to do so, the power or the presence of the Holy Ghost is of utmost necessity. Then yesterday, we continued to build on certain things that are connected with the Holy Spirit. We found out that with the Holy Spirit, one of the key factors of the Holy Spirit being present is fruitfulness. Because this feast of the Lord, the feast of Pentecost, is a feast of harvest. The feast of weeks, the feast of first fruits. It's called by so many names. The Feast of Shavuot. So when the Holy Spirit is present, fruitfulness is present. Necessary. Then we went deeper and said, okay, how does this fruitfulness take place? So we explored John, the 15th chapter, where the Lord says to us very, very clearly, I am the vine. You are the branches. Let's look at it. John 15, 1. The Gospel of John 15 and verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And we explored that. Can you be a branch that is in him? He says, every branch in me, not attached, but in me, that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. So you can't be in him and not bear fruit. He says, I'll take you away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean, he says, through the word which I have spoken unto you. And we found laid the foundation of the fact that purity is necessary for fruitfulness. God says, I have made you clean by my word. Yeah? Through my word, I've made you clean. And then he says in verse 4, abide in me and I in you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. And we began to lay down the case, because he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches, he that abided in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. So we came to the conclusion that we have to be in him just as much as he is in us. Because if you are a branch in him, and it's possible for you not to bear fruit, the only difference is that he is in you. I'm not going to repeat myself. If you were not here, that's your fault. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. So the difference between being in him and not bearing fruit is in that second statement, and I in him. So you can be in the Lord, but if the Lord is not in you, you cannot bear fruit. So what does that mean? He says, for without me ye can do nothing. That's a very key statement. Verse 6 says, if a man abide not in me, if you don't abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And verse 7 said, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. So we now know what it is about the other aspect of him abiding in us. It is his word abiding in us. He says, then you shall ask anything that you will, and it shall be done unto you. But then it says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So ye shall be my disciples. And John 8 tells us that those that believed in him and continued in his word, he says, they will be his disciples indeed, and they will know the truth, and the truth shall make them free. In essence, he said, if you continue with me, that's how you're going to be my disciples, and my disciples are fruitful. And then it says this, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. As the Father loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Now, there is an aspect that I need to bring to our minds. And that aspect is the aspect that he keeps on stating again and again. Without me, you can do what? Nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. Is that including me abiding in him and him abiding in me? Absolutely. Because what we're talking about here is not about, oh, rules and regulations. I do this. That's how God is going to come abide in me. You cannot even do that. Him abiding in you is Him working in you and through you based on His ability. The only difference is this, that I let God be God. Me abiding in Him and Him abiding in me is all God. Don't ever think that you are going to produce any fruit in your own ability based on your skills, based on your studying, based on your praying, based on your fasting, based on your whatever. All of those things are necessary and needful, but all of those things you are only able to do based on His ability working in you and through you. It has nothing to do with you, but it has everything to do with you when you rely on His ability, because without Him, you can do nothing. My prayer life is based on God's ability working in me and through me. And one of the prayers that I pray now and again is, God, help me, help me, help me. I don't even know how to pray. I don't even know how to study your word. I don't understand any of it if you don't understand it for me. And I've gone through that experience. I remember many years ago, I was in Medicine Hat, Alberta. And the Lord says, I want to teach you about leadership. I said, okay. This is about 2, 3 a.m. in the morning. Woke me from my sleep. They wanted to teach me. I said, okay, so how are we doing this? He said, go to Luke chapter 5. So I opened to Luke chapter 5. He said, read it. So I read from the beginning of Luke chapter 5 to the end. I found not one thing on leadership in there. I said, there's nothing here about leadership. Why are you wasting my time? He said, read it again. So I read it the second time. Couldn't find one thing on leadership. So I read it again. I read it the third time. From the beginning to the end, found not one thing on leadership. And then he said, so you want me to show you now? I said, yeah. So I started reading verse 1. And everything in verse 1 was on leadership. I went to verse 2, everything was on leadership. I went to verse 3, everything was leadership. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I said, how could I have been reading this place all this time and not found anything on leadership? And now you teach me, and here it is. Do you know you've been reading your Bible and not having a clue on what God is trying to say? Because it takes God. Not Bible school. It takes God. The only thing I learned in Bible school is how to study and use the tools available to me. How to, you know, okay, this is a concordance, this is how you use it. And these are all kinds of, that's what I learned. That's what I learned. Because after that, when I learned the tools, I was able to teach my teachers. With the Holy Ghost. This is the teaching something. I said, no, not so. Prove it. I proved it. Oh, yeah, A plus. It was contrary to everything they were trying to teach me, but now I could use the tools of God with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And now the Word of God says, you will teach your teachers. That's what the Bible says that. So if you're going to teach your teachers, it must mean that whatever it is that they knew, that there's more to it. There is more. Therefore, we cannot rely on just old information. We must recognize that there is a God who knows more today and will know more tomorrow. And will know more the next day after. Not because He knows them, but because You, connected with Him, get to know what He already knows. Amen? So, one thing that we need is to understand this one thing here. Seems very benign, but it's so powerful. As the Father had loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my what? We've heard Him say, continue in my word. Now He says, continue in my love. God loves me, and the way He loves me, that's how I love you. So the same love. He's going to tell us that the same kind of love that God has for Him, God also loves us with that same kind of love. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And now, let's look a little bit further. The Lord captioned this message on Pentecost, and He said to me, well, this is wrong English, but it captures the point. It ain't over. Because Pentecost was God's declaration, it isn't over. They said, He's dead. His disciples are scattered all over the place. They are all denying Him. Whatever it is that He came to do for 33 plus years is gone berserk. The people He spent time with are all scattered. They are denying Him. They are even swearing. But God is saying, it isn't over. The devil thought it was over. Look at this bunch of wimps. How are they going to do anything? How are they going to accomplish anything? And God is saying, it ain't over. Because this is not about them. This is about me, the resurrected Lord, who made a promise, and I keep my promises. And I'm going to sit at the right hand of the Father, and I'm going to send back the promise. And they are going to do greater things. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying to us that the days of the greater are here for us to experience. For He is a promise keeper. Hallelujah. 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 It isn't over. It's a day of rebirth. It's a day of new beginnings. The Bible says to us that when the disciples received the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost, they began to speak as they received utterance. And one of the key factors, and we talked about this the other day, was that one of the key factors of the Holy Spirit present in our lives is that we become Spirit-led. And that because we are Spirit-led, we are initiated into the family of God as sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Is that not true? The Holy Spirit declares us sons. And the world is waiting for the manifestation of sons. And I thank God today that the anointing of the Lord God Almighty can rest upon ordinary people and cause us to shake this planet, shake this world. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, that the authority of God can flow in us and through us and bring about supernatural change, so that every spirit, whether they be in the heavens and the earth and under the earth, will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord forever. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. They spake with utterance because they were led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God turned the ordinary man to extraordinary man. When they began to minister, the Bible tells us in the book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, they said, watch this. And he said unto them, oh, sorry, 2:7, apologize, 2:7, Acts 2:7. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these we speak Galileans? Now, that is an insult if you didn't know that. Because the Galileans were supposed to be way down in the strata of society. Any good thing? Galileans were way down there. But the power of God had touched ordinary people, and now even those that were against them were able to recognize that something different has happened. I tell you, God wants to touch us as ordinary people and cause his voice to blow out powerfully and cause men to scratch their head until they are bald and say, wow, we don't understand this. Which people are these people? They are not that educated. How come they are so smart? How come they are so wise? How come they are so powerful? How come? How come? They are going to start saying, how come? How come? Amen. But we are going to say, don't worry. This is the doing of the Lord. Hallelujah. God touching ordinary people and transforming their lives forever. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Ordinary man impacted by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2 and verse 14, the Bible tells us about the transformative work of boldness. Remember, Peter is the one that is busy denying Jesus to a little child. And Bible says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. Listen to me. What? Who is this guy? Where did he come from? Oh, in Acts 4 and verse 13, we read this. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were what? Unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Why did they take note of them? Of them because that they've been with Jesus? Because they saw the character and the boldness of the Holy Ghost filled Jesus operating through this ordinary man, and they could not differentiate it. This is Jesus again. We thought we killed him. No, you can kill somebody that's not killable. Hallelujah. Nero thought he could wipe out the church and found out the church was growing while he was trying to kill it. The Chinese government is finding out that the church that they're trying to quench is growing faster and faster. When the devil tries to resist the people of God, God shows them, it ain't over. It ain't over. You're not in control. I am in control. Hallelujah. Tell the devil, point your Holy Ghost finger and say, devil, you're not in control. God in my life is in control. Buzz off, you buzzer. Come on. I said, buzz off, you buzzer. Buzz off, you buzzer. You are anointed, empowered, established. You are sons of the living God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Transformation taking place because these men experience the power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout hallelujah. Look at what the Word of God says in the book of Acts, chapter 2, in verse 38 to 39. He says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." So it's the people that God calls that he gives the Holy Ghost to. Praise the Lord. The people that God calls, he gives the Holy Ghost to. But not everyone that is called obeys. So the Word of God says that this Holy Spirit is given to all that obey. Obedience. That's something that's so lacking in the body. Everybody wanting to do their own thing. But God calls us to live a disciplined life. We are called to live disciplined lives. Because God, the God you serve, is disciplined. He's focused. And if we're going to be like our God, we must be like our God with his ability. You living a disciplined life is not a result of you doing it in your strength. It is based on God's ability working in you and through you, and that happens because you surrender. A surrendered life gets to have the Holy Ghost. Amen? The Bible tells us that when the Holy Spirit came, certain things began to happen in the body. The people received the spirit of generosity. Holy Ghost-filled people are generous people. They are people that live sacrificially to make sure that somebody else gets blessed. "Without me, you can do nothing," he says. "If you abide in me and I in you, you get to bear fruit." And we said that bearing fruit was not just a matter of producing fruit, and it means that, but a matter of also carrying fruit. Which means that as a branch, that you get to carry other people by making sure that they are taken care of. That God wants to use you and I to take care of other people. Whether it be widows, we take care of them. Whether it be orphans, we take care of them. Whether it's somebody that's broke, we take care of them. We are helping other people succeed. Something the Lord taught Mama and I many years ago was this. You know, because we come from, you know, yeah, we're Canadians. I've lived here. I'm more Canadian than I'm Nigerian now. But I'm still Nigerian. Hallelujah. It's a good thing. Hallelujah. You know why I know for sure it's a good thing? When there was a time I was having problems, you know, as a church with this building, you know, trying to get this building, purchasing it. And the Lord instructed me to deal with the people that had the mortgage of the building. And told me, he said, I want them off of the papers of this building. I said, how am I going to do that? He said, pay them off. I said, and how am I going to do that? He said, leave that to me. So I said, Lord, how much do you want to pay for it? He tells me the amount. We're owing them 300 and something thousand. And the Lord says, pay them 100,000 and they'll go. You expect me to do that? He said, yes. I said, and exactly how am I going to do that? He said, you know what the Lord said to me? I will never forget it. He said to me, are you not a Nigerian? Huh? I said, what? He said, are you not a Nigerian? And I understood exactly what that meant. That means negotiate better than Trump. So I came into the building. There were parts of the building that were falling apart, all kinds of problems. Oh, this, it looks nice now. That whole place over there was falling apart. Outside was falling apart. The roof was a mess. So I called the guys in. I said, sit down. We need to talk business here. So I started negotiating with them. And they were trying to be hired. So I told them, I said, listen, you see all that mess over there? You see, you want the building? Take it. Take the problem. And they looked at me and said, let's go talk to our committee. So they went and talked to their committee and came back, we'll accept your deal. We don't want the building. It's yours. Ay, ay, ay. I said, this is a good thing. So I was in Paris ministering, and there was this young man was walking with me, and he said, I've been trying to connect with you for years. He said, and here in Paris, I get to meet with you. I'm sitting in the same car with you. He said, I am so blessed. I said, huh? So we're talking, he's asking me questions, and I told him this story about, are you not a Nigerian? And he said, hallelujah, I thought I had problems before. He said, hey, so it's a good thing, this thing that I have. I'm a Nigerian. I said, yeah. Well, it's a let me tell you something, child of God. It's a good thing that you have the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Hallelujah. Speaking tongues, it's a good thing. It confuses the devil. Yeah. Don't let anybody, you know, they may say, holy rollers, roll all you want. As long as at the under end of the rolling, there is power. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You are anointed with power. Power that breaks the backbone of the enemy. There's boldness inside of you. That's why, child of God, we need not be afraid, for the Spirit of God has not given us the spirit of fear. But what did He give to us? The spirit of love. Of what? Power. And of what? A sound mind. I'm not crazy. I've got a sound mind. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know where crazy people are? The crazy people don't know that they are crazy. So don't, you know, as long as you're walking with Holy Ghost people, you're okay. If you're walking with the world, then maybe you've got some problems. They were generous people. They sacrificed, they sold property and everything and made sure that everybody was taken care of. That's what the Word of God said. Acts chapter 2, verse 45. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had what? Need. So they got rid of needs. The body of Christ that is Holy Spirit filled and charged up should not have people that are struggling, because they have a need that is left unmet. There's no lack in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Verse 46, it says, and they continuing daily with one accord, united with one accord, in where? The temple. Oh, what? Now, that might seem like nothing. Remember, these are the people they didn't want in the temple. They were busy telling them not to preach, not to say anything, but they are in one accord, united in the temple, united in the place where the enemy was saying, you cannot be here. They stayed together. Child of God, Holy Ghost people, people that are filled with the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost, operate in unity in spite of all the enemy wants to do to keep them disunited. They say, we are united, we are one people, we are together, we will never break rank, we will accomplish the will of God in the land of the living. That's us. United. Breaking bread from house to house. So they were united in the temple. They were united in the homes. They did eat meat with gladness, not sadness, and with singleness of heart. That's what Holy Ghost does. Verse 47 says, praising God. And what happened? And having favor with all the people. Having favor with all the people. And the Lord, when they had favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Why? They had favor. Lay your hands on your head. Father, I declare that because the Holy Ghost is in my life and on my life, I have favor. I receive favor. Therefore, I will be fruitful in every area of my life. Souls shall come into the kingdom because your favor is on my life. Somebody shout hallelujah. The Bible tells us that they were fruitful. Acts 2, verse 41. Let's look at that again. Then they that received his word were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That's because of favor. 3,000 souls added. Fruitfulness. May God cause us to be fruitful. Because I truly am convinced that fruitfulness is as a result of the Holy Spirit abiding in our lives. Fruitfulness. The first mandate and declaration of God over the people of God was fruitfulness. I shared with you yesterday that the first Pentecost and the first Pentecost, the Ten Commandments or the Torah was given. In this Pentecost that happened about 2,000 years ago, God released words, but this time the words rested on their heads, impacting their minds, impacting their hearts, and they, from that very moment, needed not to be afraid. They were able to accomplish the purposes of God. That Torah was given on the sixth day of Sivan, on a Sabbath. The sixth day is the day that man was created. This particular Pentecost, about 2,000 years ago, happened at the same time. It was God putting his hand on ordinary men. So Paul was saying later on, look amongst you. There are not many noble, not many, you know, VIPs around. God chose the ordinary to do something extraordinary. And this Pentecost, now, God is saying the same thing to you and to me. He's saying to us as a church, I want to use the ordinary to do something extraordinary. The Lord said something to me this morning while I was here, around 7:30 or something like that. He said something rather interesting to me that I choose to believe him for. This church started first stage of it when we were with the Evangelical Church of Canada, started in 85. And our first service was on September the 8th of that year. 4 years later, in 89, we were sent off because God gave directives for that, and I went to the leadership of the Evangelical Church and said, God is asking us to step on and go further, but I cannot leave without your permission, because everything has to be in order. If you believe that, you don't just act crazy. So they blessed us and released us and said, go on. A year later, that church merged with another church called the Missionary Church. So in 89 of September, September of 89, we started the beginnings of what we've gone through many name changes since that time. And while I was here this morning, the Lord reminded me, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former. Amen? Hallelujah. It's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the living God. And I heard the Lord say something to me. You want to hear what he said? He said, glory and peace worldwide. And I stopped. I was somewhere around here. I stopped and said, glory and peace worldwide. I know we are international. He says, glory and peace worldwide. He says, I'm going to surprise you. For this day, I birth this church.
Hallelujah!
Wow. I said, I've gone through all kinds of experiences. God, don't be leading me down a dead-end road now. Do you believe me that I can take you, ordinary, inconsequential, and I can catapult you? Yeah. And it dawned on me. Mama and I are here. I am a nobody. And in the midst of a whole host of possibilities of men, mighty men and women of God, that can go and do a wedding in Dubai, that God elected and said, no, not that person, 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 this one. And I'm catapulted from behind way back there, right to the front. And I'm telling people, what they are going to do. you read the scripture and you what do come. No. I give you another thing to do. How did this happen? God can catapult you from anywhere, not based on whatever pedigree you have, but based on the fact that He and He alone is God. He is the builder of His church. And the gates of hell shall never prevail over His church. The church started with 12, 120, and in one moment they are 3,000 plus. And a few days later, because the Holy Ghost is present again, 5,000. In one day? Can God establish a nation in one day? Look at Israel. It is not based on your power or your ability. It's not based on my power or my ability. It is based on the doings of God. Amen. The things which Jesus began to do and teach. God can cause us to be worldwide. Amen. The glory of the latter house can be greater than the former. And the Lord said to me, I want to build up a generation of men and women that will dwarf whatever happened in the early church, because that was the beginning. Now I want to do something extraordinary, and it's in a time and a season when it seems like it is impossible. But I know no impossibilities. It ain't over. In a time when people are running every which way and all kinds of foolishness is happening in the world, God says, this is a perfect time for me to speak my word and turn the nations around. God wants to shake nations, and He wants you and I to be part of His mighty army. Hallelujah. 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 Army of the living God. It's time to march with an unbroken chain. Locked arm in arm, moving towards this Jericho, and the walls of Jericho must come down. It's a promised land. Blessed be the name of the living God. No lack was the result of the Holy Ghost being present. Hallelujah. Let me begin to wrap up. The Bible tells us that when the Holy Ghost came, rested upon them, and please understand, Jesus said, you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says that on the day of Pentecost, they were filled. Filled and baptized are not the same. So whatever happened on the day of Pentecost was just a starter. But God is, in this last of the last days, going to baptize us. Amen. I'm reminded about an experience I had in the beginnings of the church. We were meeting in a school called R.F. Morris in elementary school. And one day I was ministering the word, just as I'm ministering now, and I can feel my feet on the ground now, the way I'm walking. But this particular day, I couldn't feel my feet. I was floating. But I see my feet moving, but it's like there was a cushion of air underneath my feet. So I'm looking, my feet are on the ground, but I cannot feel it. You can feel your feet, right? But I can feel mine. It's not because it's numb. I can feel it. And I'm moving, and the power of God was hitting that congregation. People were dropping under the power of God. You were there? So I say, Lord, what's going on? The Lord says, you're operating in baptism. I say, what? He said, this is what baptism looks like. So I said, explain it to me. I'm having this private discussion with the Lord. He says, most of my church is not baptized. He says, you've not experienced baptism yet, but you are going to experience baptism. I'm watching this, and he began to explain to me that baptism was about, let me put it this way. If I had a basin, a big basin, and I put a cup at the bottom of that basin, and I began to pour water into that cup, it will fill quarter, half, three quarters, full. It will overflow. It's overflowing. And while it's overflowing, it will fill it from the outside, quarter, two quarters, three quarters, full, and then it will overwhelm it. But that cup is still resting at the bottom of the basin. But the more I pour water in there, pretty soon that cup that was resting at the bottom will float. Are you with me? That is baptism. That is baptism. When you don't have any control, but God and His Word has total control. He carries you. These are waters where you cannot walk. God wants to take us to a dimension that will scare the devil. That will cause the devil to begin to scream, get them out of here. They are killing me. Oh, you don't understand what I'm talking about. This is the time when the true prophets are moving and they can call down thunder and storms and fire and everything and build, get them out of here. We are not going to get out of here wimps. The devil is going to beg. Because the baptism of the Holy Spirit and power shall flow in us and through us. Somebody shout hallelujah. How is this going to happen? Is it going to happen because I start fasting more? No, this is not about you fasting now. This is about God doing what God says He's going to do. Amen. Touching ordinary men, ordinary women, and causing them to begin to act as manifestations of the sons of the Most High God. Ordinary me, ordinary you, ordinary us. We look around and say, how can this be? Well, he had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What is this among so many? Just give it to me. He broke bread. He gave thanks. He says, put them in order. Yeah? Sit them in 50s. Is that what he said? This is the day of 50s. Amen. Hallelujah. And we sit under the order of the Most High God. And God is about to do some serious distribution And at the end of it, we're going to have 12 baskets. And those 12 baskets is the government of God. Somebody shout hallelujah. The change is here. The glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. We are not going to be looking at the day of Pentecost 2,000 plus years ago and saying, oh, look at the amazing thing that happens then. Oh, but they are going to be looking for it and saying, yay, this is it. This is it. The blood moons have happened. This is it. They didn't have blood moons. We got the blood moons. Oh, yeah. Somebody say, it's time.
It's time.
Somebody say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Tonight, I want every one of us to be present in this house. Because tonight, I believe that God is going to do something. This is going to be the upper room for us tonight. Amen? God is going to do something. And listen, child of God, hear me loud and clear. The Holy Ghost eradicates poverty. It eradicates lack. It eradicates anything that is contrary. It will produce healing. It will produce deliverance. It will produce every good thing. Amen? Because one of the things that the Holy Ghost did, one of the first miracles, was a man that had been at the gate, paralyzed, and he was over 40 years old. Carried there to the beautiful gate, he knew consistency. And Peter and John say to him, look on us. Man looks at them, expecting to get something, and then they said, silver and gold we don't have, but what we do have, we give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and what? Walk. He gave him their hand, they lifted him up, his ankle bones were strengthened, and he leaped. And the Bible says he didn't run home. He did one thing that he wanted to do all these years. He stepped inside the temple. That's where they told him he could not go into because he was paralyzed. You cannot come in here. And he was born that way. But he did not allow bitterness and offense in his spirit. He kept on coming. He'd missed the healing, his deliverance. One time, Jesus came, cleaned out the whole place, healed everybody. He missed it. Cleaned out everybody. Second time he came to cleanse the temple. He missed it. Now he's dead. And they're saying, in the name of Jesus Christ. But he did not allow himself to be offended. One of the greatest challenges I've faced as a minister of the gospel is to be reminded of where I started, because I did not call myself to the ministry. I did not. I didn't want anything to do with ministry. I was willing to support it, do it, the businessman that gave money so other people can go preach. That I was very willing to do. No problem with that. But that's not what God wanted. He wanted me. So my father put me on the offering plate. And that's how I got into ministry. And so now and then, I say to God, so, this is what you called me for? This is it? Oh yeah, I've gone around the world. But I still come to, is this it? Do you understand? I've seen God raise the dead. I've seen deaf ears open. I've seen God do amazing miracles. I've even been graced to know when certain people were going to die. Exact. I told them what not to do. I said, if you do this, both of you are going to die the same day if you do it. And they did. Are you with me? Being in the secret place of the Most High God, hearing Jesus talking and another person talking, the prayers of somebody praying, asking the Lord Jesus, and the Lord brought me into the conversation. I've had experiences in God. And then I come and say, is this supposed to be it? But God says he can take ordinary people and do extraordinary things, because the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. And all I can do is just believe God. Rise with me. All the way to Calvary, he went for me. He went for me. He went for me. All the way to Calvary, he went for me. And now he sets me free. Holy Ghost fire, fire fall on me. Holy Ghost fire, fire fall on me. Like the day of Pentecost, fire fall on me. Like the day of Pentecost, fire fall on me. Hallelujah, Holy Ghost, fire, fire fall on me. Fire, fire, fire. Fire fall on me. Like the day of Pentecost, fire fall on me. Whatever it is that we are and will ever be, we will be because of the doings of God. Father, this day we say, abide in us. For we abide in you. Lord, take hold of these 18 verses and do that which we cannot even explain. Be God in our lives. Let the promise of power after the Holy Ghost is come upon us be manifested now. Let this be the fullness of time for this manifestation. We believe you, Father. We believe you, Father. We believe you, Father. Establish your church. Build your church. Equip us to do extraordinary things. Your church worldwide, your people everywhere, raise them up. Raise your church up. In the north, in the east, in the west, in the south, and everywhere in between. Let this earth be filled with your glory as the waters cover the sea. In every land, Let your glory be made manifest. In the isles of the sea, let your glory be made manifest. In the Amazon, Lord, your glory. In the hearts of Africa, in Australia, in North and South America, in Europe, Lord, oh God, East and West, in Asia, Lord, oh God, in India, Father, oh God, in all the earth, be glorified. Raise up your church. Empower your church. Turn the world upside down. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, let there be an explosive move of your spirit like never before. Let greater works be done. Let there be a manifestation of the sons of the Most High. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, so let it be unto us now according to thy words. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes, they 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 said, yes, and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. It's an honor to serve you this morning. And this time we will honor God. This is the Feast of Pentecost. It's the time of releasing our best to God. The time of releasing our first fruits to God. It is a time that God pronounces increase. Minimum 60-fold. Amen? Now I want you, some of you may have given already, but I want you to do this. That when you come tonight, that you come to give, that you come to receive, you come to be blessed and to be a blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't miss the benefit and the blessing of this Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Pentecost, where God says, no man should come before me empty-handed. Why? He wants to bless the seed in your hand. Amen? Hallelujah. If you're a woman and you've not had children yet, maybe you're not married, give it for the seed that is in your womb. The seed that is going to come out of you. Levi gave in Abraham. Amen? So come tonight purposefully and honor God with your giving. Do it physically. Don't just do it online. Do it physically. Amen? Release it. Release it. If there's no other way, but it's online, do it. Praise God.